Chapter 4, A First Lead.
"Repeat that last part, will you? They took Nick's kidney?" Laura asked after Jack finished his report.
Jack looked around to see if he was still alone on the street. He was leaning against the cold stone wall of the Forensic Institute, his hand shielding his mouth as he updated Laura over the phone.
"Not his kidney. Nick's own kidneys are still in his body, untouched but close to atrophy. Dr. Lee and Dr. Seeger believe Nick was murdered to retrieve a previously transplanted donor kidney. I think their assessment is correct. The precision with which the incision was made and the calculated approach to sedate Nick beforehand both support their assumption,"
Jack reiterated, his voice steady despite the gruesome details.
"I can't believe it. We have no record of Nick undergoing kidney surgery or any kind of major surgery for that matter. And the motive? What could possibly drive someone to murder a high-ranking U.S. official for an organ that's already been transplanted?"
"I'm not sure. Perhaps someone realized the kidney would be more suitable for another patient. Or what if someone had given one of their kidneys to Nick and now their remaining one was failing? Could they have wanted their own kidney back?"
Jack hypothesized.
"That's quite a stretch. And Laura, regarding having no official record for any surgery, I think something else is in play here. I believe the murder has something to do with Nick's sabbatical."
"How so?"
"Dr. Seeger suggested that, going by the appearance of the original transplantation scar, Nick received the donor kidney 2 or 3 years ago. This aligns with Nick's health problems that led to his sabbatical. I believe Nick was well aware that his problems were due to his failing kidneys, and he took the time out to undergo kidney transplant surgery under the radar."
"Under the radar? But why? He would have had access to the best surgeons America can offer," Laura exclaimed.
"Maybe, but maybe he neglected it for too long, and his remaining time was limited when he finally decided to take action. Knowing Nick, it makes sense that he pushed the unpleasant thought of his impending death to the side until it was almost too late for him to act. And there is something else. I did not mention it at first because I was unsure if it had any relevance, but now it kind of makes sense. When I went through Nick's travelogues and financial records in the dossier, I noticed he performed multiple trips into the Xinjiang region that coincided with several transactions to unknown bank accounts."
Laura fell silent. Jack waited till she digested the information.
"Xinjiang, you said?"
"Yes."
"That's bad, Jack. That's really bad."
"I know."
"For God's sake, what could have possessed Nick to go down this route?"
"It was Nick. He valued his life above all. He must have been desperate."
"Have you disclosed this to the Chinese?"
"Not yet."
"Good. Keep it that way. This cannot leak out. If it turns out that Nick really got a transplant in Xinjiang, Jesus, you know as well as I do what's happening there. A high-ranking U.S. official exploiting that situation would result in an unprecedented public relations crisis. We'll launch some discreet inquiries and try to retrace Nick's movements from 3 years ago. Taxi records, GPS data, anything that could inform us about his precise activities in Xinjiang. I'll update you when we find anything useful. Meanwhile, continue collaborating with Officer Jung and push forward with the investigation. The killer is still running around out there, and whatever Nick might have done, he deserves justice."
"Laura, there is a silver lining here. If the reason for Nick's murder was simply to retrieve the kidney, it suggests the killer targeted Nick as an individual, not as a U.S. official. We might not have to fear any further attacks on our personnel for now."
"Maybe. Not sure about the silver lining, though. This might just be worse."
With that, the line went silent. Jack pushed himself off the wall and contemplated his next move. Before he could come to a decision, Lei came down the stairs of the Institute.
"You're done updating your superiors?"
Jack nodded.
"What's the decision?"
Lei probed. "Nothing's changed. My objective remains to aid your investigation."
"I'm glad to hear. I can assure you that catching the killer remains my sole focus. While the circumstances of Mr. Mahoney's death are sickening, they provide us with a first clue. Killing for a transplanted kidney while sedating the victim with medical precision is highly unusual and narrows down the list of suspects quite a bit. And the apparently unique importance of this kidney might offer us another way to crack this case."
"Indeed," Jack replied. He pinched the bridge of his nose between his fingers as he mulled over the grim origins of the organ in question.
You look exhausted, Mr. Decker, Lay observed. The flight was long, and seeing Nick just laying there, it wasn't easy, Jack admitted.
I can only imagine, Lay empathized. Why don't we get something to eat?
Jack suddenly realized how tired and hungry he was. The last hours have been taxing on him. Just half a day ago, he had dragged his protesting body along the beach of San Diego to prepare for an ordinary day behind the desk. Now, he was half a world away, embroiled in a complex murder case involving an old friend who seemed to have made a dreadful decision 3 years ago.
Food sounds good, Jack agreed.
There's a nice place just around the corner. Let's head there, Lay suggested. They reached the restaurant after a short walk. It was a simple joint and brimming with local workers seeking comfort during their lunch break. A patchwork of tempting smells, industrious clatter, and lively chatter greeted them as they entered. They found a quiet corner, settling into the worn wooden chairs, and ordered a simple menu. Steamed dumplings, bowls of hot noodle soup, and glasses of cold chrysanthemum tea.
A good place, Jack remarked, taking in the lively atmosphere.
Lay made a sweeping gesture across the room. Isn't it? I come here often. It's like a second home to me. As they sipped their drinks, his face turned serious again. Mr. Decker, there is one thing I find peculiar about Mr. Mahoney's death.
Just one?
Granted, more than one thing, but one thing in particular. Why no fight? Why didn't he resist?
Jack put down his cup. I've wondered about that myself, but I assumed it is as Dr. Lee hypothesized. Nick must have voluntarily undressed himself and entered the bathtub.
I agree. This would suggest that a woman was involved, wouldn't it?
Lay pondered. You mean as the killer? Jack asked.
Or at least as the one who sedated him, yes. Unless Mr. Mahoney was interested in men.
Jack shook his head. Not that I know of. Lay inquired further.
Did Mr. Mahoney frequent prostitutes?
Jack paused at the question, considering the past and the man he knew Nick to be. I've never seen him actively pursuing one, but I assume he wasn't explicitly against the idea as long as it was an honest business arrangement, he had to admit. Why are you asking?
I think we might be onto our first lead. While you were outside on the phone, I had my team re-examine the security footage from Mr. Mahoney's apartment complex. There have been dozens of people entering and exiting the building around the time of the murder, Lay began, capturing Jack's full attention. Given the bloody nature of the crime and Mr. Mahoney's strong constitution that the killer would have needed to overpower, we initially focused on male suspects when scanning the footage. But when I just learned about the specifics of how the murder was conducted, my team began to look closer at the women entering the building. I think we found something.
Jack was impressed. Your guys work fast. It couldn't have been more than 10 minutes that I spent on the phone.
Thank you. Our intelligence colleagues are among the best in the world.
Lay took another sip of his tea and continued.
We noticed a petite woman wearing a tight, elegant dress and carrying a large designer handbag, large enough for hiding a kidney, mind you. She entered the building about an hour before Mr. Mahoney was murdered and left about 30 minutes after. Her face was concealed by oversized sunglasses and a scarf, thwarting our facial recognition efforts. However, we found her again on the nearest subway station's CCTV feed, getting on a train headed for the suburbs. After that, she's a ghost. We tried to identify her from a mobile signal or Wi-Fi pings that would track with the time points when she entered the building or the subway, but nothing. She seems to have taken extensive precautions to avoid being tracked.
That's not a lot to go after, Jack commented.
But it's something, Lay insisted, and the timing fits too well to be a coincidence.
Even if she had been involved, what makes you think she was a prostitute?
Lay took a while before he answered. My gut, mostly. But consider this. Would a girlfriend visit Mr. Mahoney shortly before midnight, dressed like a high-class escort, while at the same time trying to obscure her identity? There is something strange about this woman, Mr. Decker. I can feel it.
Jack entertained the thought. Let's say this woman is somehow involved in Nick's murder. What now?
As you know, prostitution is illegal here in China, and from what we can conclude, the woman seems to be a high-end escort rather than a streetwalker. This business is pretty much exclusively run by the Ba Jia Hui in Beijing.
The triads? I thought you had them under control here, Jack wondered, raising an eyebrow.
Officially, yes. But in reality, no. Whenever something deemed immoral is outlawed, those of lesser moral fiber will always seek to exploit it. Unfortunately, no country is immune to this simple fact of life. It's a sad reality that we have to face, Lei conceded.
Jack contemplated Lei's comments for a moment. Officer Jung, he leaned forward, fixing his eyes on Lei. You've been exceptionally open with your thoughts. Strikingly so for a member of the Chinese police force, to be precise.
Is that so? In what way?
For starters, given that this crime happened on your soil, technically there was no obligation to involve me in your investigation.
That wasn't my doing. The decision to bring you on board was made higher up the chain, Lei clarified.
Even so, with all the signs now indicating a personal targeting of Nick and the trail leading us deeper into internal Chinese affairs, there is little reason for your department to keep the U.S. involved in this case and to continue collaborating with me.
Recompense injury with justice and recompense kindness with kindness, Lei replied.
Jack's brow furrowed. I don't follow.
It's a teaching from Kongzi about the importance of righteousness and the virtue of righting wrongs. You see, Mr. Decker, while our nations may have their differences on the world stage, you and I must not. Here in this restaurant, at this point in time, we are simply two people guided by the same essential moral code. A grave injustice and injury has been committed to Mr. Mahoney and thus, by extension, to you, his friend. As law officers and people abiding by basic human decency, we must correct this wrong and bring closure to this horrendous affair, irrespective of our nation's differences. No matter what it takes, you have my word.
Jack leaned back, his fingers absently tapping against the side of his cup as he studied Lei. Years of experience had honed Jack's intuition for when a person was telling the truth or weaving lies. This felt like the former. The sincere tone of Lei's voice and his steady gaze were the signs of a man speaking out of conviction. Skepticism warred with a budding sense of camaraderie. He couldn't help but admit that it was hard to dislike Lei. Something about his candidness was compelling and disarming. His reference to Confucius's teaching, the acknowledgement of a shared moral compass, it all had an undercurrent of truth to it. It felt like an affirmation, a vow from a man who valued justice and righteousness above geopolitical divides. But Jack wasn't sure if he could trust him yet. Trust was a fragile commodity, easily shattered and almost impossible to rebuild. However, he recognized that this collaboration was a necessary gamble if he was to find the truth behind Nick's death.
So what now? Jack finally asked, breaking the silence.
First, we need to identify the woman in question, Lei began, his tone heavy. However, there is a problem.
Being what?
The government cannot afford to show any sign of weakness, especially not in Beijing. It is the heart of our nation. This city is a delicate balance between powerful factions and the state. As long as the triads maintain a low profile and stick to minor infringements like prostitution and gambling, we tend to give them some leeway. The Ba Jia Hui, while powerful, mostly operate along the border regions, ensuring they don't disrupt Beijing's governmental agenda in mainland China. They would never dare to openly confront the state here, Lei explained, his fingers tracing an invisible pattern on the table surface.
So where is the problem? Jack wondered.
Simply put, we can't just easily eliminate a triad organization with blazing guns. At least, not without some fallout on our side as well. For one, in case we decide to move ahead and strike down on one of the larger triads, we will inevitably burn valuable informants that currently keep us in the loop. And if things go south, we might even lose some colleagues during the operation. Most importantly, however, it could turn out to be a Pyrrhic victory in the end. Once we successfully eliminate one organization's activities in Beijing, another one will rise to fill the void. We would need to re-establish our informant network and insights into their structure from scratch.
As I said, when something is forbidden, people of lower standards will always try to exploit it. Finally, certain amenities are expected by the populace, and as long as the triads stick to providing these minor amenities, it creates an equilibrium. This unspoken arrangement ensures we do not unnecessarily meddle in each other's affairs. Handing over a single prostitute wouldn't be an issue for them, but handing over a prostitute that could implicate them in the murder of a U.S. official and organ trafficking? They know they would face the full wrath of the state. They will never admit to anything that could connect them to Mr. Mahoney's death out of self-preservation to the Beijing police. I'm not sure how we get them to talk.
Do you know someone in their organization who could know which prostitute might have been active in that particular building when Nick was killed? Jack asked.
Lei nodded. Jack considered this for a moment, an idea sparking in his mind.
You said they will never admit anything to the Beijing police?
That is correct.
Jack smiled. I have an idea.
After explaining his plan to Lei, the Chinese detective looked thoughtful.
That might work, he said. How is your jet lag?
Manageable, Jack replied, feeling invigorated by their lunch break.
Lei stood up. In that case, I'd say we pay the Ba Jia Hui a visit.